joined by telephone with Dr. Daniel Dupree. And Dr. Dupree is a preventive cardiologist at the University of Minnesota. We're going to talk about a Journal of American Medical Association study about the effect of sugar on heart disease. And Dr. Dupree, I want to welcome you to the Roadhouse.
Okay, good evening, everybody.
Nice to have you aboard. You know, this is Valentine's Day, and of course, there's a lot of chocolate floating around out there, and I guess in this conversation, you're going to throw a wet blanket over the idea of what chocolate and added sugars might do to one's health. What is your take on the JAMA study and how it was done?
I think it's a very important study, but let me first say chocolate is a little bit different than the sugar because I'm born and raised in Belgium and everybody knows the Belgium chocolate.
I like to hear it.
Cacao is not sugar, but unfortunately a lot of chocolate is sweetened very much. And then going back to that landmark study published in The Lancet was that over time, from about 1988 till 2010, the sugar consumption has been increased with about 15.7%, and about more than 10% of the people consume 25% or more of the sugar. And the study was done in about more than 31,000 people. And what they did was they had all the data of the sugar consumption over time, so about more than 15, nearly 20 years. And they studied the cardiovascular mortality, so the incidence that people die from heart disease. And so with higher sugar consumption, there was an increased risk of about 30%, even when they adjusted for different factors like age, gender, ethnicity, and so on. So I think this is a very important sugar because if you go to the store or you talk to people, most of the people will tell you, say, okay, I'm always looking for low-fat, zero cholesterol, and so on. And then they start to buy some stuff. But then they forget to look on the percentage distribution, fat, proteins, and sugars. And you see, despite that a lot of food articles or sweets and so on, that they say, okay, zero cholesterol, low fat, and so on, that over time, sugar is added. And I think one of the most important killers is all the pop. Because if you look to a can of Coke and so on, or other pop, yeah, easily per can, you add 32 to 39 grams sugar. And people think, oh, it's just a can of Coke, a can of pop. There is nearly no meal. But you have to eat a lot of food to have so much sugar. And so I think one of the most important issues in cardiovascular disease prevention is not only to reduce the fat intake, but also be very careful regarding the sugar intake per day, because it's not only making the people more obese, more insulin resistant, putting them on a fast trajectory for type 2 diabetes, and we all know that type 2 diabetes has an equivalent risk as somebody who did a myocardial infarction even before they developed a heart attack.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm glad that you corrected me on the chocolate, because dark chocolate is one of my favorite things in the world. So, and I'd be happy if it came from Belgium, that's for sure.
Well, I have no conflict of interest, but I think sometimes people think is chocolate healthy or not healthy? I think the difference regarding the chocolate is the percentage of cacao. What you see is that in certain countries, chocolate is eaten, I would say. Not only it tastes good, but it has also some effect against depression.
And the more darker the chocolate is, or more cocoa in it, the better it is for you, is what I understand.
Yeah. Well, because most of the chocolate which is on the market is often, you have the chocolate taste, but the rest is pure fat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and of course, sweetened too.
Now, what we're talking about sugar-wise, as far as what's been raised in our diets, is added sugars, and it wouldn't be the kind of sugars that you get naturally, like from fruits or vegetables. Am I on the right track there?
There are several types of sugars, but I gave an example, and perhaps people do not realize it, and I think an important finding and an important message for tonight is that only more or equal 7 servings per week of a sugar-sweetened beverage was associated already with an increased risk for cardiovascular mortality.
Now, that's just 7 cans of pop, basically. And
yeah. And I think if you tell the people that, they look to you and say that cannot be true. But I think this is a real landmark trial from the NHANES, and I think these findings cannot be ignored, and I think it's time even to discuss with the people, okay, beyond looking for zero cholesterol, low fat, because from the other part, overweight or obesity is a major threat for our society. And people think if people are obese that it's due to the fact that they eat too much fat or too much cholesterol. I would say it's the opposite. It's mainly the sugar which is converted in the liver either to cholesterol or to another variant of fatty triglycerides. And then that leads also making the people more insulin resistant. And I could give another fact. Unfortunately, in the old days, the indication for a liver transplant, the majority was due to alcohol abuse. Nowadays, cause number one for a liver transplant in the United States is due to a fatty liver. As people, they eat a lot of sweets, a lot of sugars. They produce a lot of, because the liver is the factory for the cholesterol and for the triglycerides, and this is going so high that at the final end, the fat is stored in the liver, and there is a fatty liver, and at the final end, that liver will become fibrotic, and so dysfunctional, and you will see that the same symptoms happen, like if you would drink, for instance, every day a half bottle of vodka, for instance.
We're speaking with Daniel Dupree, and Dr. Daniel Dupree, he's a preventive cardiologist at the University of Minnesota. We're talking about added sugars in your diet and how they affect you health-wise. Dr. Dupree, we talked a little bit about beverages with added sugar, and I think most people jump to the conclusion that that's pop. Are there other things like fruit drinks, or like an orange drink that's in the same cooler when you walk into a store? Is that also high in sugar content?
I will not mention any name, but I would recommend the people, if they want to buy fruit drinks, that they better check the sugar content of these even fruit drinks, because indeed fruit is very healthy, gives you a lot of fiber, gives you a lot of vitamins, but some of these drinks are often made from concentrate, and then sugar is added because, of course, it tastes better, and it stimulates the people to drink more.
Is there a calorie amount per day of added sugars that, or maybe total sugars in their people's diet that, is there like a limit you shouldn't go beyond this?
I would say this is very individual because, of course, the sugar are necessary for the cells. Sugars also, in normal physiological conditions, are stored as an energy source. If you start to do physical activity and so on, because the storage of the sugars is a glycogen. So I think it depends. And, of course, people with more physical effort they have to do, they need, of course, more sugars than, for instance, somebody with a sedentary job. Despite he or she works hard, they have to sit for 6 to 8, 10 hours behind a desk.
Yeah, then it's a little harder for them to process that or use up those sugars.
I mean, yeah, because they can work hard, but there is nearly no, except their brain, there is no muscle who needs to burn calories a lot. Like, then, for instance, somebody who does very heavy physical work, for instance, now outside, for instance.
As a doctor, can you tell people if they cut down on their sugars and pay attention to what they're doing, what kind of things will they notice or how will they feel differently?
Well, I think first of all, and if I may come back, because I still would like to answer the question, what is the amount of the total calorie intake? Mm-hmm. And I think as a basic rule, I would tell the people, try at least to reduce your sugar intake less than 25% of the calories. I think the intake should vary between 10% and 25% of the calories, like I already pointed out, because once you are, if it is more than 25, I would say more than 30% of your calories, at least you nearly tripled your risk for cardiovascular morbidity and mortality. I think regarding otherwise, and can you repeat the question that you just asked?
Certainly, Dr. Dupree. If people start paying attention to the sugar content and reduce their intake of added sugars, what kinds of things will they notice, will be noticeable to them?
Well, first, you see it. If people start to cut back, for instance, in the morning, they are accustomed to drink one or two glasses of orange juice. I would not say if it is you take a fresh orange, you make your orange juice by yourself, you do not add sugar. But, for instance, you buy these gallons of orange juice, and everybody think, oh, that's very healthy to start my breakfast. Then if you cut down, for instance, to half a glass instead of two glasses, you will see that these people start to lose weight. That's the first thing. Secondly, if they are still in a gray zone, pre-diabetes, that means if they go to their primary care physician or internist, then the sugar is about between 195 and 110, 120, because the diagnosis of diabetes is, if your sugar fasting is more than 126, then you will see that their fasting sugar, instead of about 110, will be 85 or 90. Thirdly, we all know people who have a kind of an apple-shaped belly. If they cut their sugars back, because the apple-shaped belly is because there is fat tissue stored there, but this fat tissue produces what we call inflammatory markers. if you would check their blood, for instance, for CRP or other inflammatory markers, the concentration can be as high as they would have a cold, because these fat cells, especially in the belly, produces inflammation. If they cut back in sugar, you will see these fat cells will decrease, and they will be less in the less quantity produce these inflammatory markers. And of course, they will have a beneficial effect, not only because diabetes does not attack only the large arteries, but mainly the small arteries, the kidney and so on, the eye, the small vessels, for instance, in the toes or in the lower extremities. So they will see if you cut back, for instance, if you are accustomed to take, for instance, 35% or 40% of your calories in sugar, and you cut back to about 20, then after 6 months, most of the people around you will say, yeah, what are you doing to lose so much weight? Or you seem to be physically more fit.
Sure. I had, in the amount of time we have left, I had a couple more questions, and one of them was, you know, what happens to children when they intake too much sugar? They just kind of go crazy, running all around the room, too much energy. Is there an effect on adults, too, when their intake of sugar is too high? Do they have too much nervous energy?
Well, what they will do is they will stimulate their insulin, and they will crave more and more to take some sweets. And it's going to function if there is still something in their drawers or they are running out of sweet. But I would say that full of energy is in the beginning. But on long term, yeah, they will become overweight and then they will become more passive. With children, if their sugar is starting to go down, yeah, they will crave for more. Mm-hmm. Because you have that high sugar level has stimulated so much the pancreas to produce more insulin, and the insulin will push the cells, will push the sugar into the cells, so the sugar is going down, and you start to crave for more.
We've been speaking with Dr. Daniel Dupree, and Dr. Dupree is a preventive cardiologist at the University of Minnesota. We've been discussing the effect of added sugars in diets in America or in anywhere, really, to heart problems. Just maybe one more thing, in about one sentence, can you reassure everybody out there on Valentine's Day that getting that box of dark chocolates tonight is okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say for Valentine's Day, even if there is a sweet pie, I think it's only once a year Valentine, but it's crucial to have a very good relationship. So I would add sugar instead of vinegar tonight.
Well, I'm very glad you said that. So everybody out there, feel happy and grab another chocolate. Dr. Dupree, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was great. I know you were very busy tonight, and thanks so much for giving us your time.
Okay, it was a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much, and enjoy Valentine's night. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.